Transition Radio is pre-recorded and sponsored by Paula Shaw Counseling and Tactical Income LLC.
Good evening and welcome to Transition Radio on AM 1170, The Answer. Transition Radio, because everyone is either moving from something or going towards something. See what happens when a financial guru and a grief expert dig into hot topics and cutting-edge issues. And now in studio, welcome Don Meredith, President of Tactical Income, and Paula Shaw, best-selling author and life transition coach. Welcome to Transition Radio. And now, here are your hosts, Don Meredith and Paula Shaw.
And welcome to Transition Radio. This is Paula Shaw, and I'm here with a guest co-host this evening, Ken Foster. Ken is a best-selling author, business strategist, and mentor who delivers high-energy messages that empower audiences to live courageously. He's also the founder of Stars of Courage, a 501c3 nonprofit organization that matches life coaches with people living in poverty. Ken, I'm so glad to have you here today.
Paula, it is my pleasure to join you today as your co-host. We've been talking about doing this for a long time, so it's great to be here. And we have, I think we have one of the top speakers in the nation and possibly the world on this call today. So I'm so excited.
We most certainly do. We have Lisa Nichols with us. Not only is she one of the world's most requested motivational speakers, as well as a media personality, having done Oprah, The Today Show, The Steve Harvey Show, and Extra, among many others. She's a corporate CEO whose platform has now reached and served over 30 million people. Lisa is the founder and the chief executive officer of Motivating the Masses, one of the country's only publicly traded personal and business developing companies. She's a best-selling author of 6 books, and her 7th book, Abundance Now, is about to be released. And she is also just an amazing human being, isn't she, Ken?
She's an amazing human being who I've known for several years, who walks her talk, who has a heart, is filled with gold. She's just a love to be with. She's amazing.
She is. She really is. And most recently, I was able to meet Lisa and see her speak at your Women's Wisdom Luncheon, which I believe was just a month ago or maybe 2 months ago when we had that experience. And I just fell in love with her for the second time because I saw her speak several years back when she had first released No Matter What. And she blew the roof off the house on that presentation. And I just was so excited when she agreed to do our show. So welcome, Lisa. I'm so glad you're here.
I'm so excited to be with you, both of you, Paula and Ken. We had such a great time together a little over a month ago. And it was one of those moments when I go, gosh, I want to play with them more often. So I'm glad to come back to serve beside you, to just kind of bask in the energy that you both bring. Ken, I love you. It's been years. You know, we're so close, but yet I think I live in baggage claim on a 747, so we don't get to connect enough. So I'm excited about finding excuses to connect and call it work.
Well, me also. I feel that same way, Lisa. And, you know, one thing I love about you, Lisa, is that you're in constant motion, but you're empowering people constantly along the way. And, you know, the empowerment has a lot to do with change, your own changes that you've been through, where you can articulate those in such a way that people can start to resonate within themselves what needs to change in their own lives.
Lisa,
you know,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
One of the best things we can do is navigate through a life that's going to have constant change. Welcomed with a red carpet or intrusive with sledgehammer and nails. So I'm excited to have this conversation about transition, change, and acceptance.
Well, one of the things we always say on Transition Radio is that change and challenge are happening whether we like it or not. And so what we try to do on this show is bring people information to help make those changes smoother and more productive. We're all in transition, right? You know, our tagline is because everyone is either moving from something or going towards something. And I know a lot of what you do, Lisa, is helping people to move toward their dreams, right? You're all about motivating them. Your company, Motivating the Masses, is really about helping people not just figure out what they want, but how do they get there? What do you think does motivate people, Lisa?
You know, the truth of the matter, Paula, is that people are either motivated by what they don't want anymore, or they're motivated about what's burning in their heart and they can't sleep at night until they get it, you know. And I've been inspired and motivated by both. I've been as much motivated by putting a stake in the ground, like I'm done. Mm-hmm. As much as I've been motivated by, God, I can't get a good sleep until I get this done. Like, it's such a burning desire. And so people are motivated. And it's important to understand what's your driver. And either driver is okay. There's not a driver that's wrong. Either driver is okay, you know, as long as you know when you've outgrown that driver. You know, for a long time, I appreciate your bio that you read about me. But, you know, my life wasn't always that bio, mm-hmm. you know, for a long time, I was living in scarcity, lack, and in chaos. My life, my needs were met, but my life had scarcity, lack, and chaos in it. And, as a single mom, my son wasn't 8 months old, you know, not being able to afford to buy him food and being on government assistance and finding the day when I didn't have money to put Pampers on my son, Jelani, and having to wrap him in a series of towels for 2 days. I only tell that story not because it's the only low moment I had, but because that was the moment I decided, okay, I'm moving from this place. I'm packing my mental and my emotional bags, and I'm moving from this zip code. I didn't know how. I didn't know when. I didn't know how long it would take, but I was committed. As well as years forward from that, you know, years later, I'm inside my passion, and I'm wanting to move forward. So both of those drivers were as strong, and I needed both. I just needed to know, and you need to know, each one of us need to know, when we are running from something, we've chosen to put a line in the sand, and we're saying no more, as opposed to when we're pursuing something, because both of those are necessary, but they both have a lifespan and we'll have to find something new to keep us going.
So Lisa, I run across people now and then that they want to change. They want to make, they want to find those drivers, but they haven't found their drivers. Any suggestions?
Absolutely. I think that so often we're looking outside of ourselves to find stuff. And the answers are all there with you. Your greatest fear, and I don't want to breathe life into fear, because we can definitely transition fear. I believe that fear can be your fuel if you look at it from the perspective correctly. And the lenses you look at fear through can be your fuel. Whether there's a concern, whether there's a desire, whether there's a disruption, whether there's a discomfort, you know what that is. You know that it's there. You just haven't set long enough or had someone pull it out of you. I always say when I do my coaching sessions in my office, and we're right around the corner from you guys. I think you guys are Carlsbad. You guys are downtown San Diego.
We're in UTC.
I can't believe we're so close. I'm never so close to my friends. I'm excited. So when I have my clients in our offices in Carlsbad, I say I'm going to pull. And you just keep allowing me to pull. So you just ask enough questions. So Ken, I think the value of your answer is determined by the value of your question. A lot of times when people can't discover what their driver is, it's because they just need to ask a better question to themselves. So let me give you some questions that you can ask if you're looking to discover what your driver is. Number one, when it comes to your current life, is in 5 years from today, if I were doing the exact same thing with my life that I'm doing today, would I be happy? not in the exact same place, but your day is made up of the same parameters. So that's number one. If the answer is yes, okay, great. Let's do the drivers to stay in this lane. If the answer is, oh my God, no, then okay, now we know we want transition. We want to move. The second question is, at the end of my service day or week, do I personally, not professionally, do I personally feel fulfilled, or do I feel like I've given another day or week of my life away?
That's huge.
Like at the end of, yeah, that's huge. Now, oh, by the way, Paula, Ken, you guys know that I don't know how to play halfway. I'm only going to give you the, direct, right between the eyes version. And the last question I'll speak to Ken is, when I write my legacy, now I'm going to be bold. I'm going to put you in the grave, but your life is longer in your legacy than it is in your lifespan.
Wow, that's
like
so
look
true.
At Dr. King. Mm-hmm. I mean, just look at Nelson Mandela. Look at Cesar Chavez. Look at Mother Teresa. Look at Mahatma Gandhi. Your life will be longer in your legacy than it will be in your lifespan. No one wants to talk about that, but I love a grown up conversation. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
So the last question is, when you write your legacy statement, here lies a woman who. Here lies a man who, what do you want it to say? That's part one. Part two is, and are you living the conversation that you want to be had right now about your legacy contribution?
Well, those are really different questions than I think a lot of people ask. I think when you're stuck and you don't know how to get out of it, I think a lot of people are asking, what's wrong with me? Why is it happening like this for me? How come I don't have the energy? Why don't I have the money? Why don't I have this or that? Right. There's that victim piece.
That's such an important point, Ken. And I think it's something we really want to get into in our next segment. So we look forward to coming back in just a few minutes and talking more with Lisa Nichols. Thank you. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Don Meredith, co-host of Transition Radio with Paula Shaw. Each week we interview guests from all walks of life who have stories to share about how they deal with change and challenge or how they help others to do so. Learn how to deal with life events, even when they are difficult to deal with. Our guests range from experts, professionals, and people like you and me putting others' needs before their own. You'll learn ways to make the changes you're going through easier and more life-enhancing. Connect with us on Facebook and get up-to-date news about our latest guests and receive the podcast link. Don't miss an episode. Listen to this show again and again, or share it with somebody who needs to hear it. To listen to this show on podcast, go to am1170theanswer.com or on the AM1170 The Answer mobile app and click on the podcast link. We'll see you there.
Transition Radio, brought to you by Valenti International, the only global professional matchmaker service of its kind, who consistently attracts a select worldwide clientele of quality individuals in their quest for a suitable and compatible life partner. Welcome back to Transition Radio. You're listening to AM 1170, The Answer, with Don Meredith and Paula Shaw.
And welcome back to Transition Radio. This is Paula Shaw, author of Grief, When Will This Pain Ever End? Here with my guest co-host today, Ken Foster, who's also a multi-time author, a best-selling author, a business strategist and mentor, and the founder of Stars of Courage, a wonderful nonprofit that helps bring coaching to people living in poverty. It's such a great concept, Ken.
Thank you so much, Paula. And we were just talking to Lisa about the...
Lisa Nichols, our guest today.
About the victim thinking. And, of course, she's giving, tips on how to ask powerful questions to move out of that thinking.
Yes. And those questions were pretty amazing. And just for anybody who's just joining us, I want to recap the in 5 years from today, if I'm doing the same thing that I am doing, would I be happy? That was question number one. That's pretty huge. Ask yourself that one. And number two, at the end of my service day, do I feel fulfilled? Do I feel happy? That one, I think, really was that stopped me in my tracks. I really was thinking about that, Lisa, and I'm grateful to be able to say, yes, I do. And then when I write my legacy, you made the point that our legacy is going to last longer than our actual physical life. And then I believe there was one last question, Lisa. Can you recap that? And let's talk about these.
Well, actually, the legacy, that was the last question, but the legacy question had two parts. And you know, inside the legacy, what will be said about my life? And then, you know, am I doing what I need to do to write that story, to say those things? You know, I've disrupted a few conversations when I said, oh, yeah, I'm writing my obituary. And people go, what are you doing? And I go, but it's one of the healthiest things you can do is you can live the story that you want to be told about you. So you know exactly what's going to be said about you when your physical life transitions. Like, I'm writing my obituary. I'm writing my legacy. I had a gentleman take me out to lunch from a huge, huge talent representation, the top talent representation agency in Hollywood, California. Mm-hmm. And he said, Miss Nichols, we've chosen you to make you a household name. And he went on and on, and we're going to put you on television, and we're going to get you books. And this was years ago, 2007. Mm-hmm. And I stopped him in the middle of the statement. I said, sir, I said, let me ask you a question. Do you know what your legacy is? And this gentleman, by the way, their agency represented, you know, small brands like Denzel Washington, Angela Bassett, you know, Meryl Streep, like just small brands.
Yeah,
like,
right.
You know,
people
George Clooney.
Few have heard of.
you may have heard of them, right?
Yeah.
And so I said, let me stop you. I said, do you know what you want your legacy to say, to say about you? And he looked at me and goes, well, no, I've never thought about that. I said, well, with all respect, I've given it great thought. I said, and here's what I want my legacy to say. I said, so this sounds like a great opportunity that you're having, that you're offering me to make me a household name. But if that opportunity is a deterrent from me writing my legacy, then it's a distraction that I don't wish to have. I said, however, if you're interested in helping me write this legacy with all those opportunities that you're mentioning, then I'm happy to continue this conversation. He immediately ended the meeting.
Ooh.
He dropped some money on the table, kind of left me there. I was fine. It was a really great salad. I completed my salad. And in about an hour, he called me back, and I could tell something was wrong with him. And he said, Miss Nichols, I started driving back to Hollywood and I had to pull over. I was crying so hard.
Oh.
He said, I know this is unprofessional. He said, but I'm married with two small children and I've never once in my life thought about the legacy that I wanted to leave them with until you asked me that question. He said, while I'm not sure if my agency can help you professionally, just know that you changed this man's life. And I've never talked to him again. And it's that kind of clarity that you have to have about who you want to be and who you want to be remembered as, that you don't get distracted by all the noise / opportunity / small thinking / whatever it is, so that you're consistently living the story that you want to be told about you. You love that way. You forgive that way. You pay homage that way. You adorn that way. You play full out. Everything you touch, you do it that way, knowing the legacy that you want to be told. So first thing is to understand what that legacy is.
Mm-hmm. You know, Lisa, that when you were sharing that with me, almost brought me to tears. I'm
it
just feeling that, that story. And
and I
thought to myself, you know, it touches me deeply because it goes back to values. It goes back to what's important in our life. And it's, you know, for me, family's important. For me, leaving that legacy is important. I think it is for a lot of us, but I don't think that's something we go every day walking down the street thinking, hey, what's my legacy going to be?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you connect people to their selves, them, their passion, their power, their legacy? How does that happen?
Well, I appreciate the question, Ken. And you're right. We don't walk through our life going, what do I want my legacy? We're so in the now.
Mm-hmm.
We're so in the now. But every great leader that we've ever heard of, and some people have had the pleasure of meeting, they're always thinking of how they're going to leave the world a better place than how they found it. That's a big, bold statement. And if that's too big for you, how are you going to leave your family, your community, your tribe? And I don't mean just financially. So many of us work for financial stability, financial legacy. While that's very important, it's very important to be fiscally responsible for not just you, but for the people that you love. It's also important to be spiritually responsible. It's also important to be emotionally responsible, physically responsible. What was the example you left them with? How did you make the people around you want to stand on their tippy toes because they were in your presence? And whose presence did you go around that made you want to stand on your tippy toes, calling you to be the best version of yourself, Ken, calling you to be the best version of yourself, Paula? Like, what? How do you do that? And so when you think of it, don't think of it in changing the world. Think of it, how can I transform my circle, me, that would inspire those around me? And it's not huge shift, Ken. It's how can I love the perceivingly unlovable? How can I forgive the perceivingly, keyword, perceivingly unforgivable? How can I show such a space of compassion and grace, especially in this climate? How can you show grace and love and compassion in this climate? And there's so much opportunity for that. How can you allow people to have their opinion while you have your opinion? And there is no right or wrong. There's just mine and yours. Grace and compassion. How can you love across cultural lines, across geographic lines, across religious lines, across gender lines, across economic lines? How can you create a space of connection where one perceivingly didn't exist before because you were in that space? So that everywhere you go, you become this trickle and this drop of possibility for people. Mm. You become this disruptor of the norm. I love disrupting people's norm. And not because I want to create chaos, but because if we melt the walls and build bridges, if we begin to play outside of the box, then maybe we'll find out there was never a box in the first place, Ken.
That is so huge, Lisa. And you know, one of the groups, excuse me, that you work with are teenagers. You're the nonprofit Motivating the Teen Spirit is part of the work you do, and you've done some amazing stuff with that. Touched the lives of 211,000 plus teenagers and prevented over 3,800 teen suicides and supported 2,500 teens from dropping out of school and returning. How do you motivate teens? I think parents everywhere are wanting to know that answer.
Well, go in with gloves on. No.
Boxing gloves, right?
Yeah. Well, and here is the deal. You know, God spoke into my heart many, many years ago and said, you're going to work with teens and transform teen lives. And I got to tell you, I so resisted that. I am not going to tell you. I came running to that with excitement and joy. Mm-hmm. I resisted it because I thought, what if I get a teenager that's like me? Like I was at a teen.
It's a tough population. It's a tough population.
We're all in trouble. But you know what? Let me just give you three things as a parent that, and mind you, let me preface all of this with, it's not going to be easy for you, and it has nothing to do with your children. So, and I'm going to say I'm going to give you three. I might give you five. So I'm going to go really fast. So number one, eliminate trying to have teens meet you where you are. You have 30, 40 years of wisdom that they just have not developed. So your job is to stretch yourself and meet them where they are. They're not in the same time with you. They don't find information in the yellow pages. They don't even know what a phone booth looks like. Mm-hmm. They've never been born without Google in their life. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to meet them. So bridge the divide between generational gap. Meet them where they are. And these are the reasons why my company has been so wildly successful in working with teens. So meet them where they are. That's the work you have to do. Number two is to show them who you are beyond a parent. They need to see the woman. They need to see the man. Age-appropriate content. You will be blown away with what your children can handle. And so if you're talking about fear, share with them a time when you're afraid. If you're talking about transition, share with them a time when you're in transition. Show them your humanity. Show them a time when you didn't have it all together, because they already know that you don't have it all together. Okay?
They certainly do. And Lisa, I don't want to interrupt you because I'm on the edge of my seat and I know our listeners are too. But yes, we need to go to a break. And when we come back, sure, we're at number three, correct?
Yes.
All right. I can't wait. Thank you so much, Lisa. And we will be right back to hear the rest of Lisa's incredible wisdom about how on earth do we work successfully with our teens. We'll be right back.
For those looking to improve their lives, there's nobody better to turn to than Paula Shaw. Paula helps people regain successful lives by identifying and eliminating self-sabotaging behavior using a multitude of mind-body techniques to identify and resolve their core issues. Working with a wide variety of healing modalities, she provides her clients with the most effective process for their specific needs. To book a session with Paula, call 858-480-9234. That's 858-480-9234.
Welcome back to Transition Radio. You're listening to AM 1170, The Answer, with Don Meredith and Paula Shaw.
And welcome back to Transition Radio. This is Paula Shaw, author of Grief, When Will This Pain Ever End? Here with my guest co-host this evening, Ken Foster, also a best-selling author and the founder of Stars of Courage, a nonprofit that matches coaching with people living at the poverty level. And most exciting of all, in studio with us tonight, or actually on the phone, but with us in spirit all the way, is Lisa Nichols, an amazing best-selling author, one of the world's most requested motivational speakers, the author of an upcoming book, Abundance Now, which we'll definitely want to talk about, and also a media presence. You may have seen her on Oprah, The Today Show, The Steve Harvey Show, among many others. But in our last segment, we were talking about that group that is a mystery and a conundrum for so many parents, our teenagers. I know I've lived through it. Ken, you've lived through it. Lisa, you've lived through it. But you were sharing with us some amazing wisdom that we want to share with our listeners about how do we work best with, how do we relate best with our teenagers, and how do we motivate them?
Well, you know, I'm so excited about this topic because our children are going to grow up to be amazing adults. And one day we might need them to take care of us.
So, yes.
The relationship is key. And what I just said to someone recently is you need to steward your relationship with your children now so that when they have the option, they choose to be your friend.
Yes.
Because at a certain point, your children will be adults who choose to be your friend. They'll always be your child, but they choose to be your friend. And it was very sobering for the person I was talking to. They kind of went, oh my God, I don't think they choose me today. Okay, great. You have cleanup to do and you need to do cleanup in an appropriate way. So number one was to meet them where they are, not where you are. It's impossible for them to know what it feels like to be in your body and in their mind. You were born with the Flintstones. Let's just call it what it is. It's just the truth. You know, my son said he had never seen a 45 LP before. We were cleaning out my dad's closet and a 45 LP showed up. And I said, you haven't seen this? He goes, no, Mom. How many songs are on this thing? I said, one on each side. And he was like, one song. And he and my niece were so like outdone. They didn't have any words. They just kept looking at it like, why would there only be one song on this big thing? And I said, you've never seen this before? And my son goes, oh yeah, Mom, I have seen it before. I said, yeah, great. And I'm trying to redeem myself. He goes, it's the thing that the bird on the Flintstone plays. So they literally think that we're back in Brontosaurusville eating Brontosaurus burgers. So number two, I said, is to show them your truth. Show them a vulnerable side of you when you didn't have it all together, because they already know you don't have it all together. So have a forthright conversation, a forthright age-appropriate conversation with them. And number three, key, and this is not in the order of importance. This is just in the order that I'm coming up with this insight, is to listen without fixing.
Yes.
Like the reason why they hesitate to share is because we as parents are trying to fix everything. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they need to work through their own thoughts. And here's what I know about a child's mind, a brain, is that their brains don't trigger to the solution as fast as ours have, because they don't have enough time under, you know, it's almost like a pilot with 3,000, 10,000 miles in the air will respond a whole lot quicker to something that occurs than a pilot with 62 hours under them in the air. They're both pilots. Right. You spell pilot the same way, but they just respond differently because of their time and their wisdom. And so listen without fixing. Allow them to sit for a moment. When you ask them, so what do you think you should do? And they say, I don't know. Don't give the answer. Say, well, let's discover it together. Mm-hmm. And allow them to work it out in their head, because then you're helping them to develop their problem-solving skills or their creation skills. And so often we're trying to fix so that our children avoid any challenge. Well, when you try to fix and to eliminate your children avoiding challenges, think of it this way. It's like the caterpillar who's going through the metamorphosis to become a butterfly. And while the caterpillar is becoming a butterfly, literally they're in that middle stage fighting to get out of that cocoon. All they're doing as a caterpillar in metamorphosis is struggling. That's all they're doing. Yeah. It's struggling. That's all they're doing. Mm-hmm. And they're struggling to break out of that caterpillar, cocoon. And if you were to cut it open for them, which is what we as parents do all the time for our kids, we come and save them. But if you were to cut the cocoon open so that the butterfly can get out, the butterfly will get out. It'll have beautiful colors. It will have wings, but the butterfly will only stay on the ground because, get this, the mere fact of the struggle to break out of the cocoon is what builds the butterfly's muscle to fly. So if you cut the cocoon and for the butterfly, the butterfly will live and die without ever taking flight.
Mm. Yeah. You know, that's beautiful, Lisa. It's really hard to do as a parent. I get
it
that.
Is.
Let's say your child doesn't pick their room up, right? It's so tempting to go and say, "Let me take care of that. Let me handle this. Let me talk to the teacher at school that there must be something wrong with the school system why you're getting bad grades. It couldn't possibly be you. Let me help you." I think that's just a natural thing we do as parents. But what you're saying is just the opposite. You're saying empower them. That's what I'm hearing. Empower them to find their own solutions.
Absolutely. And that leads me to number four. Ask more inquiring questions that allow you to discover answers together. So when I ask more questions versus giving more directives. As parents, we give more directives. Mm-hmm. And when they were 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6, they needed the directive. When they're 12 and 13 and 14 on up, even 11, they need more inquiry questions so that they can, and then you discover the solution with them. So you become like the bumper rails at the bowling alley. So when I go bowling, I always have them put those bumper rails down so that my ball can get to the end. I need a little help for my ball to get down to the cone. And so you want to be the bumper rails. You don't want to throw the ball for them. So my son, with all due respect, I've had a housekeeper, grateful. I've had a housekeeper for maybe 10 years. And my housekeeper never cleans my son's room. And my son will tell you, my mother has a housekeeper. I don't. Because he can't afford one. He can't afford one. You can't afford a housekeeper. You can afford to clean your room. And so literally a couple of weeks ago, my son's room was open and my housekeeper, beautiful woman who's been with us forever, she's family, she just couldn't stand it. She saw the room and she went into it. And so she cleaned it. He came to me, listen, he came to me and he said, I need to admit something.
Oh.
She cleaned my room. Like, he needed to come clean. he knew that I told him, you can't afford a housekeeper. I can. I don't want to give you any false illusions, son. And so I want to support you.
That.
I'm going to be there for you. And here's what I say. And you want to write this down and use this with your children. Let's co-create the solution together. Let's co-create the solution together, which means we're going to be partners. I won't leave you, but I'm not going to do your lifting for you. Because if I do your lifting for you, I have great biceps and triceps. You don't.
Mm-hmm.
Your arms are weak. And so So yes, Ken, it is about allowing them to discover their muscles and for us to be willing to not be consumed with the perception of our children and making our children's journey be such a direct connection to our success as parents. You know, so my child's journey is going to have many roads that I love and maybe some that I don't. My job is not to put up a roadblock on that road for him. My job is to be there for him when he comes back to the main road. Yes. My job is to love him unconditionally. My job is to guide him. My job is to help him put up the bumper rails, not to detour his road and detour his path because I want to save face as a parent.
Mm-hmm. Or make it easier for them. You know, I mean, out of our love, we're doing exactly what you said. We keep cutting the cocoon open and not realizing the consequences of what we're doing.
Absolutely. And we don't know. We don't know. Parenting is the one thing that did not come with a workbook.
I know.
Where is the workbook? Where is the work? And I say all this as a teacher, but I say it as a mom, too. My son is 22 years old, and he recently graduated from Le Cordon Bleu Culinary Institute, and he's adamant on starting his own business. Well, mom thinks he should go work in someone's restaurant. I think you should learn on someone else's dime other than my dime. And so, Ken, I say this, and Paula, I say this from a place of parenting as well. And so yesterday I had a very clear, loving, confrontational, write that down, confrontational conversation with my son, not confrontational. And in that confrontational conversation, I just set up boundaries. I said, here, let me support you to launch. Here's what I'm going to provide you with. You need to give me an operational budget for your business. I need to approve it. And you need to give me an operational plan for your business. And I'm going to allow you to stay here with me as long as you're building the business or you're going to school. And even if the business is built and you're going to school at this age in 3 years, you need to have your own space. So show me how we can co-create the strategy to make that a win for you. And then I sat silently with no more words. That's the key thing. Number five is practice silence. So they have space to figure it out and think. It literally took him about 6 minutes of sitting there quietly to come up with a plan because his brain isn't developed as much as mine is. So it takes longer to go to the file cabinet, to pull out the file, to bring the file out and to read it back to his mom or to whomever he's talking to. And our job is to sit in a comfortable silence.
That is such a piece of amazing wisdom, Lisa, and a perfect place for us to stop for a moment because we need to take a break. But I can't tell you, as a parent myself, mine are a little older, and fortunately, they have chosen to have me in their lives, and I adore them. But I think you're giving so much precious and valuable information to parents, and we will be right back with our eager desire for more in just a minute. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Don Meredith, co-host of Transition Radio with Paula Shaw. Each week, we interview guests from all walks of life who have stories to share about how they deal with change and challenge or how they help others to do so. Learn how to deal with life events, even when they are difficult to deal with. Our guests range from experts, professionals, and people like you and me putting others' needs before their own. You'll learn ways to make the changes you're going through easier and more life-enhancing. Connect with us on Facebook and get up-to-date news about our latest guests and receive the podcast link. Don't miss an episode. Listen to this show again and again or share it with somebody who needs to hear it. To listen to this show on podcast, go to am1170theanswer.com or on the AM 1170 The Answer mobile app and click on the podcast link. We'll see you there.
Transition Radio, brought to you by Valenti International, the only global professional matchmaker service of its kind, who consistently attracts a select worldwide clientele of quality individuals in their quest for a suitable and compatible life partner. Welcome back to Transition Radio. You're listening to AM 1170, The Answer, with Don Meredith and Paula Shaw.
And welcome back to Transition Radio. This is Paula Shaw, here with my guest co-host today, Ken Foster, best-selling author and founder of Stars of Courage, an amazing nonprofit that actually provides coaching for people at the poverty level to help them transition out of that place in life to something so much better. And with us tonight is someone else who does that as the main motivation and the main focus of her work, and that is Lisa Nichols, who is also a best-selling author many times over. She's one of the most widely sought-after motivational speakers in the world. She's a media presence. She's been on Oprah and the Today Show and so many other shows. And in our last segment, we were doing some wonderful discussion about how to work with teens, because one of her nonprofits is motivating the teen spirit. But Lisa has a workshop coming up here in our area, right here in La Jolla, on May 7th. And the title is Speak and Write to Make Millions. And if you want information about that, go to speakandwriteworkshop.com. That's speakandwriteworkshop.com. So, Lisa, I love your title. Tell us more. What's going to happen? If we walk through that door, are we going to make millions? Or what do we need to do?
But, you know, I just want to comment on that. You know, as you're saying the title, I'm thinking to myself, vulnerability. Gosh, I want to grow my business. I want to be out there more. But you know what? Speaking in front of people is like death to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And writing is it's even more, because now
yes.
You got to be really vulnerable. Lisa, is this what you're teaching? What are we doing here?
How do we do it?
How do we do this?
Yeah, first of all, I love the questions, and that's exactly what we do. So just one small adjustment so that people don't come on the last day of all the excitement. It's actually on May 5th through the 7th, so it's Friday through Sunday. It's a 3-day experience, super, super powerful. And it's designed to do several things. One, it's designed to push you past where you normally would stop, whether it be in speaking or whether it be in business or whether it be in life, is to help you push past your limiting beliefs. Ken, going right to your point. So your limiting beliefs that could be around money, you know, before you can make millions, you have to give yourself permission to make millions or whatever that thing is important for you. Before you can speak in front of one person, you have to give yourself permission to touch someone else's life. So I love to call it speak and write to touch millions, to inspire millions, and then generate millions. So I deal holistically with the individual that comes. People come who are in a company, they work for someone else, but they want to also learn how to own their voice. So whether you are an entrepreneur and you want to build your speaking platform as a speaker, or whether you're a nurse and you just want to have more power in your voice, whether you want to simply understand how do I speak for greater impact, going back to our last segment, whether you're a parent and you want to learn how to inspire your children with your words, every single thing that you do in life requires your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think that the last thing you want is to get to that place in your life where, you know, you've lived a full life and you feel like I didn't use my voice enough. So Speak and Write to Make Millions is really about speaking and writing and delivering your message on whatever way you want to do that. So yes, Ken, we talk a lot about overcoming your fears. Matter of fact, I'm a transformational coach. So the 3-day workshop, which starts on the 5th and ends on the 7th, except for those individuals who want to sign up for VIP, then you start a day early. We have a bonus day even if you start on the 4th. One of the things that I'm going to address from the very beginning is how do you step into your greatness? How do you push past where you normally would stop? How do you overcome limiting beliefs? How do you stand and own and operate in your greatness? And we have people who are newbies who literally are just thinking about, what do I want to do? That thing you talked about, Paula, what's that next thing I want to do? And then we have people who are seasoned entrepreneurs who are very, very successful. We have doctors come, lawyers come, professionals come from all over the world, housewives. We have men who've sold their companies who want to do that next season, because it's a discovery zone. It's one great, big 3-day discovery zone. And then looking at the things that might stop you and then learning some skills and techniques so that you can manage that. And then what I love most is you're going to meet 400 to 500 people in that room who are like-minded souls, like-minded individuals who literally want to have an impact on the planet the way you want to have an impact on the planet, who want to transform their lives, who want financial success, who want great impact. And we do some networking things that are a little unorthodox. They definitely are not like your standard networking mixer. But as a result, you meet your next business partner, you meet your next customer, you meet your next client, you meet your next investor. Some people have met their next life mate, you know, they met their life mate, and they because we set up an environment for connection. And so I'm super excited. We've been doing it for now 7 years. We've graduated over 4,000 graduates from Speaking Right to Make Millions. We've helped over 225 people get their book out of their belly, and over 185 of those individuals have become best-selling authors. We've helped over 500 people become really successful speakers, making a five-figure income and six-figure income, and a couple have even crossed the seven-figure income bracket. So we're super excited about what we're doing, what we've created, and what we get to hold the space for. And I love it that we're local. God, I never have an interview where we're actually local. People get on the plane, and they'll be there from over 15 different countries. Every time we do that, do the event, over 15 different countries are present. We always have to turn people away. We never have enough space for the number of people want to go. And I rarely get to play in my backyard and invite people from my backyard. So I'm super excited. I have something I'm going to do that's radical. You didn't know I would do this. So if you go to speakandwriteworkshop.com, speakandwriteworkshop.com, if you put in for friends and family, which is FFF, just the code FFF, FFF, if you put in that code, then you will get our standard fee is $9.97 forward. We go down to $5.97. Our early bird is $3.97, but you're going to get an additional $50 off $3.97 if you put in the code FFF. We'll only have 50 people that'll be able to put that code in because we're actually reserving it for another group that won't even get the invitation until next week. I thought while I was sitting with you, like, let me just let them have an additional code. And so it's FFF. So put in FFF, and there's an additional little love notice for you guys. So I'm just super excited to be able to serve. People ask me, how did I build my career? And when you come to that 3-day training, I literally take you behind the black curtains. I tell you what I did right, but I think more importantly, I tell you what I did wrong. And I share the whole story with you very candidly.
I think that's so powerful. And that's what people need to know, right? Because we look at people like you and we think, well, she must have had, family money, or she just somehow got lucky or made all the right decisions. So I think it's really important for people to have that sense of camaraderie, to realize you don't have to be a genius or totally special or blessed with billions in order to come to a place like you've come to in life, Lisa.
Absolutely. I laugh and chuckle when you say that, Paula, because I was a C student for 12 years, my entire school experience. Mm-hmm. I struggled in high school. The last time I took an English class, I got a fail. And my English teacher told me I was the weakest writer she'd ever met in her entire life. And the last time I took a speech class, I received a D-. And my speech teacher said, quote unquote, Ms. Nichols, I recommend that you never speak in public. I got fired from 5 different jobs in my 20s. So wow. I love sharing behind the black curtain because I was the one that no one thought would ever be here. They believed in me, but my past did not make sense to have this kind of future unless I got radical. I got non-negotiable. I got resilient. I stopped asking the world for permission to be brilliant. And I gave the world notice, even with a C average, even with a fail in English, even with a D- in speech, there is some brilliance in me and I'm going to find it and I'm going to share it. And so I love people who may not have had the best beginning or may not have had everything handed to them, along with those who've had great opportunity. Everyone's welcome. And together we find out how to make the next season your best season.
Mm. Wow. You and I had the same teachers, Lisa. Yes. I remember one of my teachers telling me, a counselor, telling my mother and I, he will never go to college. Put him in, train him to be an auto mechanic, which is nothing wrong with being an auto mechanic. But that wasn't my dream. Mm-hmm. Failure is it's highly underrated. And you mentioned that, you're going to reveal your failures at this workshop so other people can hopefully not make those mistakes. Let's talk about failure for a second. Why is that so important in this workshop and in your life?
Oh, my God. I love the topic because when you shift your relationship to what we call failure, then all of a sudden you'll play bigger. Like, people are not leaping because they're afraid of failing. That's mm-hmm. it. But if you shift your relationship to failing, so failing is okay. It's okay. As long as, write this down, as long as you always fail forward.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fail. Because if you don't give yourself permission to fail, and this is so critical that if you're listening to my voice that you get this. If you don't give yourself permission to fail, you've never really given yourself permission to fly. Because if you don't give yourself permission to fail, you'll stand at the edge of the cliff. You'll lean out. You'll feel the wind on your face. You'll watch everyone else soaring, but you'll never take the leap because you're so committed to not failing. The only way that you'll take the leap is if you say, you know what? I might fail, but I might fly.
I love that. That
fail.
Is awesome.
If you fail forward.
Yeah, that's awesome, Lisa.
What a perfect place, Lisa. As much as I wish we had another hour to go, we are at the end of our show. And I think those words that you just said were just a perfect, perfect place and a beautiful last thought to leave our listeners with. And I just want to thank both of you, Ken Foster and Lisa Nichols, for just gracing this show today with wisdom, with beauty, with great thoughts and great words. I think all our listeners are greatly served by the presence of both of you. Thank you so much.
And thank you for having me as your co-host today, Paula. I do want to mention the how people can get to that workshop one more time. So it's speakandwriteworkshop.com/FFF. Think Frank or Foster. Three F's and you're going to get Lisa's discount. Lisa, thank you so much for being here with us today and sharing your wisdom, your compassion, your love and inspiration.
Thank you so much for having me, Paula. Thank you for having me, Ken. I appreciate that. So for those of you, if you just go to speakandwriteworkshop.com and then when that page comes up, you can put in the code FFF. I want to make sure you guys get there. I'm honored to serve beside you. I'm honored to be in the same presence as you, Paula and Ken. I love and appreciate you both. I can't wait for us to do something like this again.
Thank you. I am in the same boat, and I'll be at Speakin' Right. So I'll look forward to a big hug then, Lisa. Take care.
I got one with your name on it, girl.
All righty. That sounds good. And thank you, listeners. We will look forward to seeing you again next week on Transition Radio. Good evening.
This program contains the opinions of Don Meredith, an investment advisor with Colorado Financial Service Corporation, and does not represent the opinion of Colorado Financial Service Corporation. Tactical Income LLC is independent of Colorado Financial Service Corporation. Security products offered through Colorado Financial Service Corporation, member FINRA and SIPC.
Transition Radio is pre-recorded and sponsored by Paula Shaw Counseling and Tactical Income LLC.